Welcome back to the deep dive. Last time we talked about confidence, didn't we? That initial trust you need to even start on this path to freedom.
That's right. But, just wanting it, having that aspiration, well, anyone who's tried to shift a deep habit knows that's only part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Something's missing. That sustained energy, the follow-through.
And that brings us right to our focus today. Courageous effort, or virya.
Yeah.
It's the second key quality, really the engine for the whole journey.
Okay.
So our mission, drawing from the REFT program materials, is to really unpack how we cultivate that kind of persistent, strong energy, but crucially, without falling into either, aggressive striving or just giving up.
Right, finding that balance. And just to reset our framework for everyone, RAFT, that's recognize, abandon, freedom, and train. And it's that A, the abandoning stage, that really seems to demand the most, effort.
It really does. And the RAFT program, it stresses that this effort, this courage, isn't about not feeling the difficulty or the fear. It's about mastering it.
Ah, okay. Like that quote they mentioned, often linked to Mark Twain.
Exactly. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. It's about engaging with that internal friction, head on.
And historically, this idea connects back to Gautama, the Buddha.
Yes, the materials point to his view, setting the stage. Energy is the ally of wisdom.
Ah.
When energy is strong, mindfulness is sharp, and we see clearly what to do.
That's powerful. It lifts effort beyond just grit, doesn't it? It makes it a partner to actually seeing things clearly.
It absolutely does. It tells us right away that virya isn't about like gritting your teeth and forcing things. It's about a focused, clear kind of energy that helps you perceive what's actually happening and respond skillfully.
Okay, so let's get into the mechanics then. If confidence is what launches the raft, then courageous effort is the paddling, the constant work needed.
That's a great way to put it. It is the paddling. It's the power source that keeps you moving, especially through those choppy waters of craving or those strong currents of old habits.
Yeah.
Without that persistent push from effort, the raft, even if you launched it with all the confidence in the world, well, it just drifts. It gets pulled back by inertia.
It really seems fundamental. I noticed the program mentions it appears, what, nine times in Gautama's key teachings, the 37 liberating practices.
That's right, nine times. And they highlight that he even called his path Viryavada, a teaching of effort.
Wow. So effort isn't just part of the path, it's kind of the defining characteristic.
In many ways, yes. It signals this isn't passive. It's not just sitting around thinking nice thoughts. It requires real, dedicated engagement. But, and this is the crucial part we keep coming back to, it's not harsh.
Right. Not self-punishment.
No. It's the engine driving towards freedom, but you've got to tune that engine correctly. Apply the effort skillfully.
Okay, so that's the million-dollar question then, isn't it? How do you generate this heroic energy needed for abandoning without just burning yourself out or becoming really rigid?
Exactly. And that leads us directly to the practical blueprint the RAFT program lays out,
Right.
the four resolves. You might also know them historically as the four right efforts.
Ah, the four resolves.
Okay, these are really the operational definition for all skillful effort. They tell you exactly how to apply your energy, moment by moment. For anyone working with difficult ingrained patterns, these aren't just ideas, they're like daily action points.
Okay, let's spend some time here. These feel really central to the how-to.
Definitely. So the first resolve is prevent.
Prevent,
This is
okay.
about guarding against unhelpful states before they even get a foothold. It's like preemptive defense.
So in the raft metaphor,
Steering clear of the rocks you know are there, avoiding the known hazards before you hit them.
right. And in daily life, what does that look like? Give us an example.
Okay, so preventing could be deciding consciously not to scroll through social media first thing in the morning because you know it triggers comparison or anxiety. Or maybe it's choosing a different route home to avoid walking past a place that triggers old urges. It's recognizing the trigger, a person, a place, a time of day, and actively creating space before the craving really kicks in. The effort there is mental, choosing the slightly harder path up front.
Got it. That makes sense. So the second resolve.
The second is abandon. This is the effort you need when, well, you didn't prevent it, the unhelpful state has arisen.
You've hit the reef, basically. You're taking on water.
Exactly. So now the effort goes into bailing. If that wave of resentment or fear or intense craving is already washing over you, abandoning is applying the tools you have to let it go.
How?
It might mean recognizing the story your mind is spinning, seeing it's an old tape playing, and consciously dropping the narrative.
Oh.
Or using a specific technique, like mindful breathing, to ride out the wave without acting on it. It takes huge effort to interrupt that cycle once it's going.
Okay. Prevent, abandon. What's next? The next two seem more proactive, building something positive.
That's right. The third is cultivate. This is about actively, intentionally nurturing helpful states that haven't arisen yet, but you know you need them.
Like
if you recognize you need more patience in your interactions or more kindness towards yourself, you don't just wait for it to appear. You actively practice small acts of patience. You intentionally bring kindness to mind. It's like gathering good, sturdy timber to strengthen your raft, building inner resources.
I see. And the final one, number four.
The fourth is maintain.
Maintain, okay.
This is the effort needed to sustain the helpful states that are already present. It's easy to relax when things feel good, right?
Yeah, definitely. Take your foot off the gas.
But maintain means keeping that gentle, steady effort going. If you experience a moment of calm or clarity or connection during your day, the effort here is to consciously appreciate it, let it sink in, stabilize it. Don't just rush past it. Help it become a more lasting part of your inner landscape. Keep the raft steady on its course.
Prevent, abandon, cultivate, maintain. Okay. Laying it out like that, I can really see why the RAFT program talks about needing heroic energy. It sounds like constant vigilance, constant steering.
It does require significant energy, especially at first. Mm-hmm. You're working against deeply ingrained patterns, that powerful gravitational pull of old habits.
Right. Which brings me back to that tension. How do you sustain that heroic level without hitting burnout? How do you avoid the too tight string?
Ah, yes, the balance. That's absolutely critical. The RAFT materials explain that effort isn't static. It evolves. It starts out as a faculty, something you're learning, a skill you have to consciously manage. It feels effortful, sometimes really taxing.
Okay, like learning any new skill. Awkward at first.
Exactly. But with consistent mindful practice, not forceful, but aware practice, it matures. Mm. It develops into an unshakable strength, or what the program calls a defender. It becomes more like spiritual stamina.
So it goes from feeling like you're constantly pushing a boulder uphill to something more intrinsic, like the way a skilled carpenter works, where the movements are fluid, efficient, almost second nature.
That's a perfect analogy. The carpenter simile captures it beautifully.
Yeah.
And the key to that shift, that maturation from conscious forcing to integrated flow, is balance.
The lute simile?
Precisely.
Yeah.
The program references the Sona Sutta, which is all about this.
Yeah.
Tuning the lute string, your effort.
Explain that again. Too tight.
Too tight. And you get agitation, restlessness, anxiety. You're striving too hard, forcing it. Eventually, the string snaps, burnout.
Okay. And too loose.
Too loose. And there's no energy, no focus. You get apathy, dullness, passivity. No music comes out. The raft just drifts aimlessly.
So the goal is that middle path. Steady, consistent, sustainable engagement. Effort that feels energizing, somehow not draining.
That's the ideal. And that balanced, steady effort is what gives you resilience. Because let's be honest, lapses happen. Mm-hmm. Old patterns resurface. Everyone falls off course sometimes.
Right.
Courageous effort, when it's balanced, is the strength that lets you get right back up. It reframes that lapse. It's not a catastrophe, not a failure. It's data. It's a learning opportunity. It fuels recommitment, not collapse.
And this balanced effort, it doesn't just exist on its own, does it? How does it connect to the other defenders we've talked about, like confidence, or the ones we'll get to, like mindfulness and a gathered mind?
It's totally interconnected. Think of courageous effort as the spark, the initial boost. When you apply that focused energy mindfully, it sharpens your mindfulness, your ability to be present.
Okay.
Sharper mindfulness makes it easier to cultivate a gathered mind, concentration, focus.
Right.
And a focused, gathered mind allows for clearer discernment, seeing things as they really are, which in turn circles back and strengthens your fundamental confidence in the path and in yourself. They all feed each other.
So it's a virtuous cycle.
Exactly. Vince Cullen, one of the RAFT program authors, puts it really nicely. Mindful effort leads to effortless mindfulness.
I like that. Mindful effort leads to effortless mindfulness.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and ground this a bit more. What does courageous effort look like in everyday practical actions? It's not always grand gestures, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Mm. Often the most heroic effort is very quiet. It could simply be the effort of showing up for another day and not defaulting to those old familiar escape routes or coping mechanisms, just facing the day consciously. That takes energy.
Yeah, resisting that inertia.
Right. Or think about asking for help. That can take tremendous courage and effort, can't it? Admitting you're struggling, reaching out for support instead of trying to white-knuckle it alone. That's a foundational act of effort.
And what about internally? dealing with difficult feelings.
Huge effort there. Facing challenging emotions, maybe sadness, fear, anger, facing them honestly without pushing them down or immediately distracting yourself. That's the abandon, resolve, and action right there in your inner world, allowing yourself to feel without being swept away.
And the pause. You mentioned interrupting reactivity.
Yes, that's maybe the most visible form. Taking those, say, 3 conscious breaths before you react when someone pushes your buttons, that tiny gap you create, that pause is courageous effort in action. It's choosing a response instead of just having a knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, so if we want to strengthen this quality but do it wisely, avoiding the burnout trap, what does the program suggest? How do we cultivate the balanced version?
Good question. The program highlights a few key ways to do this sustainably. First, really connect with your inspiration. Keep reminding yourself why you're doing this.
The freedom part of REFT.
Exactly. What does that freedom look like for you? Confidence, as we said last time, is the fuel. If you lose sight of the why, your energy is going to dip. So keep that inspiration alive.
Okay. What else?
Second, start small. Really small if necessary. Don't try to overhaul everything at once. That's a recipe for feeling overwhelmed and giving up. Focus on maybe 5 minutes of mindful practice or making one skillful choice right now in this moment. Build momentum gradually.
Small wins.
Precisely. Which leads to the third point. Celebrate the effort itself, not just the outcome.
Ah, that's important.
Yeah. Acknowledge the fact that you tried. You made the effort to pause, even if you still got angry. You sat down to meditate for 5 minutes, even if your mind was all over the place. Appreciating the act of applying effort is what refuels your determination. It's internal encouragement.
That makes a lot of sense. It shifts the focus from perfection to participation.
Exactly. And one more related point is wise rest. Effort requires energy, and energy needs replenishing. But rest here means real rejuvenation, not just collapsing into more distraction. Conscious rest.
Looking at this through a sort of wider lens now, how does this ancient idea of virya connect with, say, modern science or psychology?
Oh, the connections are fascinating. From a neuroscience perspective, what's happening when you exert that courageous effort, like taking that pause?
Yeah.
That's essentially your prefrontal cortex, your brain's executive control center stepping in to regulate the limbic system.
The more reactive emotional part?
Right. The part driving impulses and strong emotional reactions, the sea of many habitual patterns. Every time you successfully pause, choose a skillful response, resist an urge mindfully, you are literally strengthening the neural pathways for self-regulation.
So it's not just a metaphor. You're actually rewiring your brain.
You are. It's neuroplasticity in action. You're training that muscle of conscious choice over automatic reaction.
Wow. And psychologically?
Psychologically, it aligns really well with concepts like self-efficacy, that belief in your own ability to handle things, to make choices that lead to desired outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the idea of grit, you know, the combination of passion and perseverance towards long-term goals, sustained effort is at the heart of both.
And I can see the link to philosophy too, maybe Stoicism.
Absolutely. There's a strong resonance with Stoic philosophy, courageously focusing your energy on what's actually within your control, which is primarily your thoughts and your actions, and maintaining that inner stability regardless of what's happening externally. That takes immense balanced effort.
So pulling it all together then, courageous effort, virya, it's this dynamic, persistent energy. It starts as a conscious choice, maybe feels difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But with balanced practice, it matures into a kind of unshakable inner stamina. It's what makes the whole abandoning stage possible, turning the idea of freedom into something you can actually live.
Beautifully summarized, it truly is the heroic heart of the practice, the engine that powers the raft towards the shore of freedom.
Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, it's important to mention where these insights are coming from. The material we've been exploring is drawn from the RAFT to Freedom Workbook.
That's right. It's authored by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. And they're making an incredible contribution by progressively releasing all 67 chapters freely online.
So if you want to go deeper into this, find more detailed explanations, self-reflection questions, practical exercises, it's all there. You can find it at raft2freedom.org. That's raft, the number 2, freedom.org.
It's a really valuable resource for anyone wanting to guide their own journey using this framework.
Definitely worth exploring. Okay, so as we finish today, perhaps a final point for self-reflection for you, the listener.
Yes. Maybe just take a moment today or later and ask yourself this simple question. Is the energy I'm feeling right now in this moment, is it fueling freedom or is it feeding an old habit?
A powerful inquiry. Is energy fueling freedom or feeding habit? And let's close with that potent quote the program uses from the Dhammapada, chapter 25.
By effort, vigilance, restraint, and self-control, let the wise one make for themselves an island which no flood can overwhelm.